This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And there is a high level of uncertainty. You are not sure if you're going to make money or not. You might lose everything. I'll give you examples. There are many examples in our life and also in the stock market. What is the proof? نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيوع الغرر عن بيع الحصات. بيع الحصات هذا كان قديم. يعني بيع الحصات is the sale of stone. It's something that we shouldn't be concerned about. It existed during the time of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He used to do crazy things. It would come to مثلا a merchant or someone who is selling clothes, and he said, okay, I'll take a stone, I'll throw it. And then if the stone comes on the one مثلا dress or any animal, I'll buy it for this. I don't know why they would do these things, but these are crazy practices that existed during the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But we're not concerned with that. We're concerned with the hadith in which he said he has forbidden the sales of gharar. Now gharar, we said it is an unreasonable risk, but there are different levels of gharar. Minimum level of gharar is usually tolerated in Sharia. It's accepted. This is medium level of gharar, which I myself, I don't understand. It's based on the ijtihad. So the ulama will come and look at the transaction and say, okay, I'm not sure if this is, if it is excessive, it's halal. If it is a minimum level, then it is accepted. It doesn't affect the transaction. Medium, to be honest with you, I don't have an example, a good example for medium. So we will deal with minimum level of haram. I'll tell you examples in our daily life, in our life. What we do when we take our kids, we go out and eat. And I'll tell you about minimum examples, I'll give you examples about minimum level of haram. They shouldn't worry about it. There is some level of uncertainty, but you cannot avoid it, or you shouldn't worry about it. It doesn't affect the transaction. Some of them are important, we need them, we need to know about them because we deal with these transactions. Excessive gharar, يسمى باللغة العربية الغرر الفاحش, is the highest level of gharar. You might lose everything, you might pay for something but don't receive any counter value. Right? So now this is haram. And these are examples of excessive gharar. Gambling, for example. It's the best example. Maisir, it's called Maisir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it's haram. It's one of the major sins. And these are games, playing games, basically playing games of chance for money. You don't know if you're going to make money or you lose everything. Right? This is gambling. And that's why it's haram. It's called muqamara, qimar in Arabic language. It's called Maisir in the Quran. So this is haram. Number two, mystery or surprise vacations. These are examples. There are some people, I don't know if Muslims buy this kind of packages, but they are very well known here in the West. So what is a mystery vacation? You buy a package from a company that provides these surprise trips, or surprise vacations. They don't tell you about the location, they don't tell you about the hotel, they don't tell you about what kind of activities you're gonna do there. They don't tell you. They give you some information. But they have different destinations in the US, for example. They might take you to California. They might take you to Chicago. They might take you to any other city. You don't know. Jahala tamma. This is haram in Islam. I mean, if you buy a package, vacation package, you need to know the details. You need to know the flight, the destination. What is the name of the hotel, how many days you are staying there. And they do it for fun. They do it for fun. I guess new couples do it, or people who like to have fun and spend time out of in a vacation. So it is not acceptable. Why? Because there is excessive haram here. Insurance. Insurance, we need it, right? There is a need for insurance. We need this kind of protection. But conventional insurance is not halal. What is the alternative? is Takaful. We don't have Takaful companies in Canada or Halal cooperative insurance. What is Halal? We have cooperative insurance in Canada, but they're not Halal. I looked at their investment because the idea of cooperative insurance, they take premiums from the customers. These premiums are investment. They invest the money of their clients or their members. And then if they make a profit, and of course they were able to cover for the accidents and the needs of their clients, and they, at the end of the year, they made a profit. Because of their investment and there is a surplus of money, then they are supposed to pay, give some dividends to the clients. Conventional insurance companies don't do it, right? They don't do it. Takaful are supposed to do the same thing. I looked at some cooperative insurance companies in Canada. The problem is their investment is not Sharia compliant. Otherwise, the idea is good to buy insurance from them. But their investment is not Sharia. Most of the time, they invest in bonds and non-Sharia compliance investment. That's the problem. Otherwise, the idea is beautiful. The idea is beautiful. So there is a need for insurance for this kind of protection. But the problem is conventional insurance is not halal. And it has excessive gharar. You might pay, you might be paying for 30 years, 40 years for your car insurance, and you don't benefit from these payments. Or home insurance. Home insurance is halal. I mean, why I'm saying it's halal? It's haram. By principle, it should be haram. But there is a concession for it. Like we have a concession to buy auto insurance, otherwise we cannot drive a car. Home insurance, if you own a house in Canada or North America, I'm talking about Canada and North America, I don't know about other countries. Why? Because our houses here are made of what? Wood. And the fires are very, very common. If your house is burned, you might, and it affects the fire, affects your neighbors, you might go to the court and it will be a big damage. You cannot do it, you cannot pay for it. So that's why when we say home insurance is halal, we're not saying that Islamically it's halal. We're saying there is a concession made by Muslim scholars living in North America, knowing our life, knowing the nature of our homes, they said it's halal. Because if something happens, a Muslim homeowner cannot deal with this damage by himself. So he needs this kind of protection. So the need for protection is good, is there, but as I said, conventional insurance is not halal, but if it is, there is a need for it, then we can go for it, whether it is health insurance, auto insurance, or home insurance, or sometimes even professionals. If you're working on a project, multi-billion project, you make a mistake, you might pay a big amount of money, or you lose your job, or you end up in big trouble. And the company asks you to buy some insurance. In this case, if you feel like there is a need for it, it's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feel that there is a need for it. Life insurance, there is no need for it. Life insurance is not covering your health or your house or your life insurance. When you die, you'll give your money to your family. That's why all the ulama, they said life insurance is haram. There is no need for it. Binary option trading. This is illegal in Canada. It's called binary option trading. It's illegal in Canada. But the idea is very simple. I'll tell you the idea. You bet on the movement of the price. You believe the price of a stock or security will go up. So your betting will be on the movement of the price. Like you pay like $100. If the price of this stock goes up, for example, they pay you 70% of your investment. So you earn $170. Your capital, and this is an example, right? If the price goes down, and it could be within 1 minute, could be within 1 hour, could be within a day. It has an expiry time, but this is how it works. If the price goes down, and your betting was what? Okay, the price going up, so you lose everything. You lose your $100. So it's either zero, or you make some money. And what you lose,
That will be the profit of the counterparty, the other party who sold you this option. It's binary option. Could be a company, could be a platform, could be a broker, could be another investor, Allahu a'lam. Classical options also, they are haram. So all these investments are called zero-sum games or zero-sum transactions. What is zero-sum? If your profit is $400, the loss of the other party will be $400. 400 minus 400 is zero. That's why they are called zero-sum. They are pure examples of gharar. This is pure gharar. Even though there is a minority of Muslim scholars who said some classical options could be halal, but majority of Muslim scholars, they said all these derivatives, these are derivatives. So you are not buying an asset. You're not buying, even though in the classical options, they might give you the option of buying the stocks. There is an option. That's why this is the difference between binary, classical, and CFD trading. CFD trading, you are trading, you're betting on the difference between the settlement price and the strike price. But basically betting on the movement of the price. If it goes up, like you buy it for $100, if it goes up for $120, your profit will be $20 only. You're not buying anything. This is the difference of the price they give it to you. If the price goes down, you lose $20. You bought it for $100, but the price is $80, so your loss is $20. So basically betting, that's why they are called spread betting. Most of them are called spread betting here. Now I'll give you an example. This is classical options. A stock share is $48 in the spot market, for example. Mr. X or Mr. John or Paul believes that the price will go up. So he made a contract of call option. That means he's a buyer and the holder of the option. But he doesn't have the obligation to buy. He has the right to buy. This option will give him the right to buy. That means he can cancel. He said, I don't want to buy, he has the right. At the time, at the end of the period, which is 90 days. And there are different options. Some of them allow them to exercise this right before the end of the period. Some of them, he said, no, you have to wait until the end of the period, 90 days. At the end of the period, the price goes up from 48 to 54. He bought these options for $2 each. 100 shares, $2 each. So what was his investment? Investment? $200. So he spent $200 buying 100 options, right? Or the option to buy 100 shares. At the end of 90 days, the price goes up 54. Now he's in a good position now. He will buy them at which price? 48. That was the agreement. And he will sell them again in the market. 54. The other party, the seller of the option, has the obligation to sell to him. He has the option not to buy, but because the market is in his favor, he will buy. The other has the obligation, the one who received the premiums, the $200, he received $200, he has the obligation to sell to him. Right? This is how it works. Right? Now, he made $6 per share, but he spent $2 for each share. 6 minus 2? 4. 4 by, multiplied by 100? 400. 400 is his profit on that day. But his profit, 400, is the loss of the other party. That's why we call them zero sum transactions. It's pure haram. Just betting on what? The movement of the price. But at least the classical options, he has the right to buy the shares and keep them. But the other options, CFDs, and spread betting and all this binary, there is no assets to be bought or to be exchanged. Anyway, so that's why we call them. Now, if the price, call them zero-sum measure, if the price goes down, Mr. X doesn't exercise his right. He says, I'm not going to buy because I will lose money. Right? The price is below 48. The price goes to 44 or 40. Say, I have the right not to buy. Right? But he will lose what? How much?
$200.
And that is the profit of the other party. Again, 200 minus 200. The final outcome is zero. So these are examples of pure gharar in the stock market. They're very popular. But as I said, classical options, I guess they are legal in Canada. The other ones, binary, they are not legal. And many countries consider them pure gambling. I know a brother from Calgary, he lost $200,000 here by just trading binary options. He told me illegal in Canada, he was doing it with a company in UK, online. And after losing this amount of money, he called and said, is it halal or haram? After losing this, we have to be careful, ikhwan, this is a big amount of money. CFD, as I said, is a contractual difference, the difference of the price, as I said. Buy it for 100, if it goes 120, the profit is only $20. There is no asset to be exchanged here. We give you the difference, $20. The price goes down, 80, they give you you lose the difference. You lose the difference, which is $20. Fine. Now, we talked about classical options, minimum level of gharar. Now, this is interesting, we have to pay attention to it. Open buffet, all you can eat restaurant. It's halal or haram, there is gharar. We don't know how many plates you're gonna eat, huh? You're gonna pay $15, but you might be consuming 10 plates. Is halal or not? Do you agree with me? Huh?
Yeah.
You're smiling. You like it? It is halal, but it is minimal. The owner of the business is happy and you're happy. Both of you are happy. It doesn't lead to dispute, any dispute. Unless the quality of the food is not good, that's a different story. Right? So you decide not to go back to that place. But as a basic principle, this is halal. Why halal? Because the range is known. You're not going to, as a human being, you're gonna eat, you know, a limited amount of food. You know, so the owners of this business, they know how much you're gonna eat, right? Yes, there is a difference between one person. I mean, people don't eat the same amount. But still, it's not something, it's still within a range, right? Within a range. Some people will eat like maybe the amount, the value of $20, but they're paying only $15. Some people will eat the amount of $25 or less, maybe $10. There's some children who will maybe pay $15, but they end up eating the amount of $7. So these businesses know that they are making money and they're happy. Time is surprise. This is how we say it. This is how Kinder surprise. Yeah, chocolate X with toys. Now, there is a chocolate. There is some benefit in it. Yeah, you buy it for your child. He doesn't know the toy. Most of the children maybe want the toys, right? Maybe. Some of them want chocolate. But it's not something that is... You won't be upset if you find that your child finds a toy that he doesn't like or she doesn't like. It's not a big deal. So this is a minimum. There is a minimum level of gharar. Now, used cars or equipment, this is more serious. More serious, right? But when you buy a new car, it's a new car, right? So everything is guaranteed. It's a new car. When you buy a used car, and the hubbucks, it depends on your luck, right? So you're paying $10,000, $10,000 Canadian dollars, but you don't know what is inside the engine. Are you supposed to open the engine and look at and examine each piece? It's not possible. So Sharia overlooks this kind of gharar. It is accepted. As long as you know the car, you know the mileage, take it to the mechanic. The mechanic will drive it or listen to it. It will tell him to look at it and say everything is fine, it seems fine. It's not guaranteed. You might drive it for 1 year, 6 months, 2 months, and then you end up having a big problem with this car. But in Sharia, it is accepted. Because he can't avoid it. So when you can't avoid the gharar, it becomes halal. You buy a house, are you supposed to dig the foundation and check the foundation? You can't. You don't do it. But there is some gharar, there is some uncertainty about the foundation. There could be some, you know, anything could be there, right? Yeah, water or, yeah. But it doesn't mean that if you are selling a car and you know the engine has a major problem, it doesn't mean that you hide it, you don't tell the customer. There's a big difference between the two things. We're saying this sale is Sharia compliant. But if you know that there is a problem with your house and it is hidden and the customer is not able to see it, but you know this is a major problem, it will cost him money to fix it. It doesn't mean it's halal for you to keep quiet about it.
It's illegal.
It's illegal. In Sharia, Sharia is haram. You know there is a major problem, right? And you keep quiet about it, this is not halal. The sale of root vegetables before harvesting, before you collect them, carrots or potatoes or onions, or, is it permissible to sell them after they mature? Yes. But how are we going to buy them without looking at every piece? They're not supposed to do that. But experts, they know how to come up with an assessment about the field. They go at the different corners. They go to this corner and they pick one. They're allowed to do that. This is how experts, people who buy these kind of vegetable roots before collecting them, look at that corner, they pick one and they look at it. It's a sample. You go to the middle of the field, take another one piece, they look at it, the other corner, and then they say, okay, I mean, it seems fine. So these vegetables are mature and they're fine. They're not affected by anything. So they make a deal, and it is halal, and it is accepted in Sharia. But there is some uncertainty because the person was not able to look at every piece, right? But this level of gharar is not excessive because he was able to have a good idea about these products, right? Spin the wheel, random picker. So you take your kids to Kids Go or Treehouse, indoor playground, all indoor playgrounds. They come to some machines and they put $1 and they try to pick a toy. Sometimes they're not able. But what is the main reason for you to take your kids there? What is the main reason?
Fun.
No, fun. Not to get a toy. So that is the main subject of sale between you and the business, the indoor playground. So you buy some tickets, and then they go, they play with this machine, they have fun, and you're happy, your children, it's eight time, your children are having fun. But they buy playing some wheel, they spin some wheels, they collect some tickets, and then they go to the desk, and they redeem these tickets, and they get some toys with it. So that's okay, that's fine. This is a minimum level of gharar. And that's fine, you don't have to worry about it. Extended warranty, many people ask about it. When embedded within the original contract, what does it mean? And when you buy the furniture, they tell you, do you want to buy extended warranty? So the fatwa of majority of Muslim scholars that if it is embedded within the contract, is halal. But if it is by itself, after 1 year you decide to buy extended warranty, then this is haram. Why? Because extended warranty in the second contract is the main subject of sale. And it is pure gharar. You don't know if you're going to benefit from it or not. But when it is attached to another, something else, the main subject of the contract of sale is halal, it's furniture or a car or equipment, then this is something attached to it. We have a qa'ida fiqhiya, fiqhi maxim. I'll tell you about a beautiful book about fiqhi maxims and their applications in Islamic finance. I have the title with me here today. So they said, يُغْتَفَرُ فِي التَّوَابِعِ مَا لَا يُغْتَفَرُ فِي الْوُصُولِ. So a violation might be tolerated in accessories, but is not tolerated in the main subject of sale. If there is a problem with the main subject of sale, is jahala and certainty, then there is a problem. But if it is attached, you're buying a house or buying anything, and then pay $3,000 to add $40 or $50 to buy extended warranty, it's halal, because this is a gharar that is attached to another subject of sale, and it is not the main itself. The gharar itself, or the extended warranty, is not the main subject of sale. So a product plus protection plan in one agreement, this should be fine. You might buy a ticket, plane ticket sometimes, and they ask you, you want to buy insurance? That's fine if you feel like you need it. You add it. It is added to the contract. It is added to the price of the ticket. That's fine. But don't buy it by itself. So these are examples in our life. Do you have an example in mind before we move forward with other things?
Insider trading.
Insider training, trading, what do you mean by that?
So I, for example, I'm a VP in an organization, and I know that some major client is going to come and buy something from us, and the price will go up. So I immediately buy more stocks or buy more shares, knowing news that I'm not supposed to.
It is illegal in most countries.
But is that investment halal?
Allahu a'lam. But it is illegal in most countries. I think in all markets, right? It's illegal.
Yeah.
Using inside information.
Yeah, it's illegal.
It happens all the time.
It happens, yeah. I know it happens all the time. But this is a good question to ask. From Sharia perspective, but it includes some element of cheating here. You know, the other customers, the other traders don't have the same information. The people who are competing with you, they don't have the same information. You, because you work in this company, you have some inside information, you're taking advantage of this position. You see what I'm saying? It's not ethical. I don't want to say haram, use the word haram, because the word haram is big. But ethically, it's not accepted. That's why it's illegal in all markets. Allah Ta'ala. Okay, something else? Yeah.
What about upper car plus, for example? Is it like from insurance or warranty? Like, is it a minor, a minimum, or maximum?
What do you mean?
For example, you buy up for the upper product, and you put upper car on it.
At the same time, when you buy it?
Even if you buy it from someone else, they can transfer it to you or something.
No, what I'm saying, the basic principle, if you buy a product from Apple, and they tell you extended warranty, they call it Apple Care, right?
Yeah.
You pay some extra money for it. If it is within, embedded within the original contract, is halal.
But you can't extend it after, for example, 1 year, you can extend it for another year.
No, you can't.
Okay,
because the new contract will be, the protection plan will be the main subject of sale. Now?
It's a separate contract, yeah.
So you understand the basic principle with warranty or extended warranty, right? Yes, brother.
Can you buy the Apple Care? Because if you buy a phone, let's say, they give you 60 days if you want to buy it in that time period. You can either buy it in the original contract or.
I answered this question. He asked me the same question.
No, but that was after a year. They give you 60 days after your purchase of a phone
to think about it, and then within 60 days you can buy it. You can't do that. It has to be on the spot,
okay.
Embedded in the original contract. Yes, brother.
What about Costco membership? And
The fatwa. From a good source of ilm, of knowledge in North America, that Costco memberships both are halal.
Okay.
What about AMA? AME membership, like for vehicles, like for emergency use?
It is a type of insurance. It is a type of insurance, right? If there is a need for it, you buy it. But then you work in the oil field, and you drive there 7 hours and 8 hours. If you are stuck in the middle, you might have a bigger problem and you need their help. If you need it, you feel like you need it, there is a need for it. Insurance, the basic principle with insurance, if there is a need for it, I'm not talking about darura, necessity. Necessity, if it's not fulfilled, there is destruction. A need, if it is not fulfilled, then you end up dealing with hardship. See the difference? So when it comes to insurance, because it is mainly, the main problem of insurance is gharar, is not riba. Riba is more serious in Sharia, is more dangerous. That's why gharar was not mentioned in the Quran. It is in the Sunnah. But riba, it's a different story. So there is some sort, I would say, some sort of zero tolerance for riba in our Sharia, unless the person is facing a necessity, right? But when it comes to gharar, a minimum level of gharar is accepted, and if there is a need for excessive gharar, you can take it. So any type of insurance you feel that you need it because of the nature of your work, or you own a house, or because of your health and the health of your family members, you need to buy this kind of insurance. The fatwa in general is halal when there is a need for it, hazard. Right? Can we move forward now? Because what is the time now? So we have only half an hour. We need to talk a little bit about stock market, stock trading. Okay, sisters, I need to be fair. Do you have a question? Okay, nothing. Do you have a, what? Okay, I'll take one question from the brothers, I'm sorry.
You mentioned the life insurance. My employer kind of forces me to pay the minimum.
Yeah, I know.
So what do you do with the money?
It is part of the package.
Yeah.
It's not by itself.
Right, so if you
the fatwa is, when you are forced to buy it, you buy it, the whole package. You hold the whole package, benefits, right? The whole benefits, right? You don't lose your job for this problem.
If you receive the money after death, do you donate it or what do you
do? This is the wasiyah of many ulama. If your family receive this money, their wasiyah is that they take the capital. If you contributed into it, they take the capital, it's halal for them because it's your money. How much you pay, the premiums, right? And then they donate the rest. But if they are fuqara, they can benefit from it because it was not their problem. They didn't sign the contract. If they are fuqara, it's kind of iffy here, right? At the end, there are things when you have to make a decision. وَإِنْ أَفْتَكَ الْمُفْتُونَ. If you are, they are fuqara, they are in need, they don't have financial support, the father died, passed away, and they received this money from the company, and they don't have another income, and they are fuqara. They didn't sign the contract, they are not responsible for it. But if they have enough, they are wealthy, then it is better for the sake of their father, for the sake of the father, to donate the extra money. See the difference? Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Stock trading and halal investment. So here, the term that we're going to use is Sharia screening methodology, Sharia indexes, halal mutual funds, halal ETFs, mixed companies, mixed stocks and securities. Why do we talk about mixed companies? This is the reason. Because companies are divided into three types. There are three types of companies. One of them is non-Sharia compliant. The stock in non. Core business activity is not Sharia compliant. Alcohol, entertainment, weapons, financial, conventional financial institutions, banking, insurance, pork related products. So these are the core activity. The main activity of the company is not halal. It's not healthcare, it's not computer, it's not IT, it's not oil and gas, it's not something that is halal by itself, by its nature, right? So here, these Sharia, these companies are not halal for a Muslim to buy their shares in the stock market. Fully Sharia compliant stocks, both business activities and financing are permitted in Sharia. They don't exist in the West. But you might find some of them in Qatar, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, some Muslim companies where these businesses they felt the pressure from Muslim traders, and so in the last 20 years, 30 years, many Muslims in the Middle East and Pakistan and India, they were interested in Islamic finance and looking for halal investment. So there was some pressure on these companies, and they made their financing through equity financing or other methods halal. So they don't deal with interest, these companies did not exist, to the best of my knowledge, they don't exist in the West. I'm talking about publicly traded companies in the stock market. I'm not talking about private investments. Privately, if you have a private company, you might manage your business in a halal way, right? You have your own, it's not publicly listed, you have your own partners, and you can manage in a halal way. It's up to you, you are the owner of the business. Companies with mixed activities. So they are the subject of our presentation. So the core business activities are permitted. They are halal. Whether it's oil and gas, as I said, IT, any company that is halal, that is dealing with halal products. But there are some other activities. They borrow with interest. They receive interest income. There are some other activities that are not, they are not accepted. So they call them mixed companies or mixed stocks and securities. Now, is it permissible to trade these shares selected through specific methodology? There is a specific methodology that was created by a group of scholars. And these Muslim scholars, they are mostly members of Sharia boards. He came up, with this methodology. They said, if Muslims trade these companies that are selected based on this Sharia screening methodology, then it should be halal for them. Inshallah, this is their ijtihad. Among them, Rashid Bank Sharia Board. Yeah, Rashid Bank is an Islamic bank. It's a famous, one of the pioneers in the industry, and it was established in Saudi Arabia. Sharia Committee of the Jordan Islamic Bank. Sharia Advisory Board of the Baraka Bank. The decision of the sixth symposium of Baraka Banking Group, Bahrain. Among the scholars, Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen. Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen, I have to make a disclaimer here. He made this decision in fatwa. I was told that he changed it. He made a fatwa based on, if you want to understand how stock market works, most of the companies that are in the stock market are very beneficial to the society. They provide, as I said, service to the society, they provide products, oil and gas, IT, healthcare, technology, so are very beneficial. And they need money, they need financing, these companies. So either we go for equity financing. What is equity financing? These are shares in the stock market. And people who want to invest in these companies, they buy their shares. So by selling these shares, they get the financing that they need. The other type of financing is debt financing. You go to the banks and get loans, credit lines, they buy bonds, or they sell bonds. This is debt, but they pay interest. So now, interest, we don't want to deal with it. So Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, when he said it's halal, he said, it's halal for the big companies that are serving this community, serving the society, providing electricity, providing phone services, providing, good services that are needed. If they need this kind of financing, debt financing usually is not halal. So the only option that is left is equity financing, selling shares in the stock market, and they get money by selling these shares. Now, if we have some haram activities, they should be, and we should close our eyes because of the haja, there is a need for these companies. That was his analysis. And this is the analysis of all scholars who said it is by default, it is halal to trade in the stock market. The only problem is you have to know what kind of activities you are doing. What are you trading? Because there are some Muslims who believe like the stock market is like a casino. That's not right. It's not like a casino. This is a wrong understanding. They are very important for the economy. The problem is not in the stock market. The problem is the way, the nature of your activities. What kind of, are you gambling? Or you're buying shares and trading them and you're helping the economy, right? So that was his fatwa. But as I said, I need to make a disclaimer here. Some people told me that he changed it or he changed his opinion. Allah. Abdullah bin Mani, another major scholar, Dr. Nazih Ahmad, is a famous scholar. He lives in Canada, he's Canadian, but he used to be a professor at the University of Umm al-Qura in Mecca. He was a member of one of the major fiqh councils. He's a senior scholar who lives in BC. Dr. Mustafa Zarqa, another scholar from Jordan. Mufti Taqi Usmani, a very famous scholar from Pakistan. Pakistan, right?
Yes.
Not his nephew. Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani. He's an authority. And he has a book, actually. One of the sources today is a good book about Islamic finance. If you want to get a good idea about Islam, I got the title, and it is available as a PDF. You can download it and read it. Dr. Ali Muhyiddin Al-Qaradaghi, he's still alive, this guy, and this sheikh, lives in Qatar, he's originally from Iraq. He's an authority, he's a great scholar in the fiqh of business transactions. Among others, but in North America we have Sheikh Salah Sawi, he's a great scholar. In North America, he lives in Texas. Great scholar who said, yeah, it is permissible to trade these mixed stocks based on these Sharia screening methodology. How does it work? Okay, their proofs, let's talk about their proofs. He said, all their proofs are legal fiqh maxims. And as I said, I have a good book here to tell you about I have the title of this book about fiqh maxims, if you want to understand these fiqh maxims. Now, the ulama made these fiqh maxims based on different proofs. They looked at different incidents during the time of Rasulullah or an ayah from the Quran, hadith, here, story, here, they come up with a rule. They kind of deduct a rule, qa'ida fiqhiyya, from different incidents and different ahadith. مَثَلًا يَجُوزُ تَبَعَ الْمَلَى يَجُوزُ اسْتِقْلَالًا. We used it. I mentioned this qa'ida when I was talking about extended warranty. That a thing which is not permissible by itself may be permissible as an attachment, as an accessory, right? If it is not the main subject of sale. الحاجة العامة تنزل منزلة الضرورة الخاصة. A need of a public nature may be treated like a personal necessity. The example of that, these big companies that are providing good services that was the basis of his fatwa, Sheikh Mohammed bin Uthaymeen. These big companies are offering big services to the community. They are helping the economy. They are serving the society. So حاجة عامة, there is a need of a public nature. People need electricity. They need to use their phone. They need cars. So there is a need for this kind of goods and services. So they said, may be treated like a personal necessity, may be treated sometimes like a darur, like a necessity. This is another fiqhi maxim. للأغلى بحكم الكل, the majority deserves to be treated as the whole thing. So if 80% of a product is halal and we have 20% which is in the gray area, then we might close our eyes and treat the whole thing as halal. This is one of the fiqhi maxims. Anyway, you need to look into study them, but these are just examples. ما لا يمكن التحرز منه فهو عفو. Anything that is impossible to avoid is overlooked. But this is a famous qaida in the area of tahara, purity. Right? Something that you cannot avoid in tahara could be overlooked. Someone who has a problem, an issue with salas al-bawl, or these are examples in fiqh, in the books of fiqh. So anyway, they use these kind of fiqhi maxims. The second opinion, they said, is not permissible to trade the shares of these companies. They are the Permanent Committee of Research and Fatwa in Saudi Arabia, Sharia Committee of Kuwait Finance House, Sharia Board of Dubai. Islamic bank scholars like Dr. Salous Mat al-Arhamo, who's an Egyptian scholar who lived in Qatar. He was a professor of Islamic finance. He had some books, Sheikh Ali Salous, Sheikh bin Baz, among others. Islamic Fiqh Academy of Jeddah, OIC. OIC, Organization of Islamic Countries. So it's another Fiqh Islamic Academy. Their proofs is the Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made riba haram. We go to 275, 278, the ayat from the page that we mentioned, 275 to 281, right? Rasulullah cursed the one who paid riba, the one who consumed it, the one who writes the contract and the witnesses. So ayat ta'awun, what is the ayat ta'awun, the ayat of cooperation? Is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in ayah 2, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate in committing a sin and transgression, right? So these are general proofs. Now, what is the Sharia screening? Sharia screening, they look at that, they have two criteria. They have qualitative criteria, and they have quantitative criteria. Qualitative, they look at the activities. What are the activities of the company? That means they look if the company is qualified for the second step of screening. What is the second step of screening? Is financial screening. They look at the debt, they look at how much debt it has, how much interest, financial screening. But before looking at the financial screening, they look at the core activities. Does the company qualify for the second step of screening or not? So look, does it trade alcohol, pork-related products, conventional financial services, all these haram activities? If the company is involved in this activities, they say it's out. It cannot be included in the index, right? I'm talking about Sharia indexes or mutual funds. All of them are following the same philosophy, following the same Sharia. Sharia screening methodology could be different from one index to, we have the Dow Jones Islamic or Sharia index, we have FTSE, we have the S&P, we have a Sharia index, S&P Sharia index in Canada. So we have these Islamic indexes, we have mutual, Sharia compliant mutual funds, ETF, halal ETFs, all of them following the same methodology, the same philosophy. Now, when it comes to quantitative criteria, this is an example, the Dow Jones Islamic Index. When it comes to the debt, they said the debt has to be less than the average. They look at the trailing 24 months average market capitalization. What is the market cap? The market cap is the value of the company. By looking at the price of the outstanding shares in the market, plus the restricted. What are the restricted shares? Owned by officers and people working in the company. So we have restricted shares, and we have outstanding publicly traded shares in the market. They look at the value, like if the share is $40, you multiply $40 by the number of shares, and you get the value of the market cap. Of the market cap of the company, right? So they look at, this is a term, these terms are used by accountants, but from where they got 33%? They got it from a hadith. 33% is a third, just to let you know, yani the basis of their ijtihad is the third. We have the story of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, I have one daughter, to inherit me, I'm sick, I'm worried, I want to make a wasiyah. Do you allow me to donate half of my wealth? He said, no. Do you allow me to donate two-thirds of my wealth? He said, no. And then he asked him about the third, he allowed him. He said, I will allow you to donate, to make a wasiyah for the third, even though the third is a big amount. Al-thuluthu wa thuluthu kathir. So they use something called divergent deduction, mafhum al-mukhalafa. They use it. So if Rasulullah said the third is a big amount, then anything that is less than a third is a small amount. This is their deduction. It's called mafhum al-mukhalafa. It's in usul fiqh. It's something technical, right? But this is their ijtihad. He said he allowed him to make a wasiyah for the third, and he said, even though the third is a big amount, I will allow you to make a wasiyah for the third. But this is about inheritance, and when you are writing your will, but they used it here as a proof. Anything that is less than the third should be accepted. So debt, why they talk about debt? Because debt is money. If a company has 80% of its assets are debt, securities or debt instruments, then when you trade the share of this company, you'll be trading debt. And trading debt with money, we have to be careful. There are some rules there. It's like trading money with money. So here, that's why he said, if it is less than a third, it should be accepted. Cash plus interest bearing securities, their value is less than 33%, less than the third, because it's small amount. Again, account receivables, they are debts too. Account receivables, the company sells something, okay, with a credit sale, right? And the customer will promises or they make an agreement with the customer to pay them within a month or 2 or 3 months. This is called account receivables. It's a debt, right? So now everything has to be less than the third. This is the methodology of Dow Jones. But I just want to tell you about when you hear the third 33%, you say, okay, what is the basis of these numbers? Why that? They have another number, the other haram activities, they have to be less than 5%. Why they use the qa'ida? Al-yasiru ma'fuun anhu. If it is small amount, it should be overlooked. It's a fiqh maxim, it's not a dalil. Now, they use this ijtihad because they believe that Muslims living in the West, or even those who are living in Muslim countries, they don't have access. If we don't use this screening, Sharia screening methodology, then Muslims will not have access to the stock markets. And they will not be able to own asset class, securities. So I'm used to, and this is the position of many scholars, they would explain the two opinions, and they will take a neutral position. Because here it's very difficult. If you go with the Quran, you say it's haram. But I'll tell you something. Now I feel, that those who said it's haram, they are on the right side. Why? I'll tell you why, the reason. Because we're dealing with two problems, one of them could be bigger than the second problem. And we have to, we don't have a choice. We are saving our money in the bank. And I discovered that we sign a contract when we open an account, allowing the bank to deal with 90% of our money. What did we call it last time?
Fractional
reserve. Banking reserve, right? So this is how the banking industry works. They take 1,000 from your money, they keep, by law, they have to keep in the bank $100. 900, they have the freedom to deal with it, and they give it as loans. Your money is used in interest-based transactions. When you keep it in the bank, and you don't have the option to keep it at home. So either you go with this option, or the other option is you look for this so-called halal investment in North America, or even in Europe, there are some Islamic banks in UK that are giving option to people living in Canada and US to trade, to open their accounts with them and do some trading, online trading. You can now do online trading with many markets. The other problem is, there is a problem of inflation. Will your money is losing value? There are some Muslims who said we should accept interest to hedge against inflation, to protect our wealth against inflation. And we tell them the basic principle that riba is haram. Don't take interest. What is the alternative? Investment. Now, I have to make a disclaimer. I am not a financial advisor. I'm telling you what I believe is halal, what I believe is accepted based on Sharia rules. But if you decide to invest, you go and you get excited tonight and you go open an account, investment account, it is your decision. Because there are people who, when I talk to them, they tell me, they call me or send me an email, tell me about some halal options available in the market. I tell them about some halal options. But I tell them at the same time, I have to make a disclaimer. I'm telling you this halal is available based on this criteria. This halal option based on this criteria is available. But I'm not a financial advisor. You have to talk to the financial advisor, do your due diligence, do your homework, and see what is good for you. You might decide to invest with this company or with this company. That is your decision. Right? So I have to make this disclaimer. That's why I don't want to mention names here. But if you need names, I can help you later on. Right? If you're looking for options. But I'm talking about the philosophy. What is available for us. If you want to learn more about these options, you can, as I said, you can check the book here, second book, Halal Investing for Beginners by Ibrahim Khan and Muhsin Pahal. These two guys are doing a good job. It doesn't mean, again, another disclaimer, it doesn't mean that everything they say is right. It doesn't mean that everything they included in this book is right. Right? But I believe it's a good book based on the value of their, the quality of their YouTube videos. I listen to them. And they understand. They understand how the market works, and they have some Sharia training too. So they are lawyers, and they have Sharia training. So they understand what's going on in the market. That's why I am advising to, if you want to buy it from Amazon, or listen to their videos. They are the owners of Islamic Finance Guru. Okay, Musaffa Academy, it's a new academy based in New York, in the United States of America. Again, they have two advisors, Mufti Adam, Faraz Adam, and another professor from Malaysia. The quality of their articles is good. Again, another disclaimer, not everything they say. I'm not saying everything they say is good, is right. Still have to do your homework, your study, if you want to get involved. But they are a good source of knowledge. And they tell you, based on this criteria, halal companies and non-Sharia, Sharia compliant and non-Sharia compliant. For example, I'll tell you about the stocks. Again, the example that I mentioned in the first halaqa, the stocks of Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. These platforms, they concluded that these stocks must be halal. So there was a Muslim brother who was told this, so he had some doubt. He came to me, I told him, based on my knowledge, as far as I know, these stocks cannot be halal. Now, I am mentioning this why? Because the fatwa, the general fatwa of our ulama, they said, if you live in a Muslim country, and this Muslim country has an Islamic bank, and this Islamic bank has a Sharia board, that as a basic principle, you can deal with this Islamic bank. You can deposit your money, invest with them. If you find something doubtful, you have some doubt about it, at that time, you ask, you consult your imam or someone you trust. So when I'm talking about Musaffa, Islamic Finance Guru, and there are some other resources, I'll tell you about them later on. If you can look at their knowledge and the articles and the videos and the platforms, if you have some doubt about something, you can ask, consult the scholars that you trust their knowledge, right? But as a basic principle, you can benefit from these resources if you want to get involved in this market. Now, the books I told you, Introduction to Islamic Finance by Muhammad Taqi, Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, is available online. There's a PDF. If you read it, it's okay, it's halal. If you it's not available for you. If you want to buy it, you can buy it. If you want to be in the safe side, buy the book. But if you are concerned about copyrights, copyrights are haram to violate when you do business. This is something that is agreed upon. You print the book, or you sell it online, and make money out of it without taking permission from the original publisher. Right? This is haram. Making money, because copyrights are respected in Islam. It's a form of wealth that is respected. It's not tangible. It's not tangible. You cannot touch it with your hands. But these are intangible, or assets that are not tangible. But they are assets. They are a type of wealth. They have a monetary value. But if you want to use it for personal use, that's okay, that's fine. Allah Ta'ala. You want to be in the safe side, you can buy it. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon or any other online stores. Halal investing for beginners is available on Amazon. Islamic legal maxims and their application in Islamic finance. This is a good book about Islamic legal maxims. Very good book. I have it at home. Published by Isra from Malaysia. And I'm sure if you want to buy it, you'll find it online. Musaffa Academy is a website. An Islamic Finance Union is a website, as I said, but they're very active online, and they have videos and YouTube videos. And you can listen to these YouTube videos and learn from them, inshallah. So I am more inclined towards those who said it's halal to follow this philosophy, this Sharia methodology, to trade this, to deal with mutual funds and halal ETFs, and follow this methodology. As I said, because of we are saving our money in the banks, the alternative is not good. The alternative is not better, and we are losing money. Because these governments are printing money. When they keep printing money, the value of the money goes down and we lose. We're losing wealth. So to hedge against inflation, investment is like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was talking about the wealth of the orphans. He said, invest with the money of the orphans, otherwise it will be gone through what? Through zakat. His money will be gone. Why? Because if an orphan is wealthy, his guardian has to pay zakat on his behalf. This is the opinion of majority of Muslim scholars. And if he doesn't invest his money, then when this child grows up, the amount of his wealth will be reduced, right? And it's not fair for this child. That's why Umar ibn Khattab said, invest the wealth of orphans. Now, it's time for Salah, but we can take some questions. Yeah. Tudal. Which name? Oh, it's not showing? Okay, I don't know. There is something wrong with the presentation here, Brother Hamza. It's not showing the last slide. I don't know what's wrong with it. Anyway, if you want to write them down, Islamic Introduction to Islamic Finance, please. I'll share them next halaqa, inshallah. Next halaqa, I'll share the same slide. Okay. Now we take some questions. We're going to delay the iqama. Are you fine with that? Okay. Yes. Here we go. Question. Yes, brother.
So you've mentioned one of the screening criteria is that the debt should not exceed 33% of the market cap. I've also heard
this is the criteria of Dow Jones Islamic Sharia Index. But the other companies or other indexes, they have a different methodology. But the point is the same philosophy.
Because actually that could range, because if you use, for example, ratio to the assets for some...
But you do trailing of 24 months. So the average of 24 months. You see, in the, this is a term that they use in accounting.
Well, I was thinking...
Because it varies, every day varies, yani, the market cap. So you take the average.
A different criteria, like it could be 33 of a market cap or 33 of the assets.
Yeah, that asset is a different methodology with a different index.
Yes, yeah.
I don't remember which index uses the other one.
I think S&P might be using.
MSCI, I guess MSCI. So anyway, but it's the same philosophy, is what I want you to understand.
Just a quick question. So some banks do have, if you put some amount, let's say 5,000 or 6,000, and forget about it kind of thing, they waive the monthly fee. Is that halal thing or?
With the bank?
Yeah.
You waive it when you open a saving account?
No, it's not a saving account. Your checking account, okay. if you keep, let's say $5,000.
Yeah, should be fine.
Should be fine?
Should be fine.
So they just waived it.
Yeah.
Is it okay to purchase in auctions?
Options?
Auctions.
Is it? What do you mean auctions?
Auction, mazad.
Mazad, yeah, you buy a car from the auction, it's halal, yeah.
Even it doesn't count as purchasing over another man's purchase?
No, I mean, there are some issues. There are sales in Sharia that have issues, but they were made halal for the public need. So auction was assessed, right? In his presence, he did the auction, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's halal. If he did it, it's halal, right? But there could be a problem with it, but it's not a problem that is taken into consideration in Sharia. And it's halal.
So like, if your company, like they vend pension on RSP, and they have a fixed indexes, and those are not always halal
indexes. So the company will give you, will ask you to open an RSP account, and they make a contribution.
Yeah.
They allow you to, or they invest your money.
No. So like 50%
right? Yeah. You make a contribution. They make a contribution, but they give you a portfolio to a different company.
Yes. They will give only a few portfolios and not all of them, or maybe none of them.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, and they're mixed, yeah, halal and haram and everything. They don't follow the Sharia criteria. So either you ask them if they allow you, most of the time they don't allow you to have your own account with another Muslim or halal or Sharia compliant investment company. If they don't allow you, then There are different fatwas. It depends on your situation. If it is a ulama, they said it's okay, you can take it. And you take the capital at the end, you donate the profit. If it is a must. If it is not a must, if it is not an obligation, you don't have to go for it. It's up to you. The choice is yours, but if you go for it, you have to follow the same methodology. You benefit from the contribution of the company. Your contribution obviously is halal, so the capital is halal. At the end, if you cash this account, you give the profit as a donation. But the best option is to look for this halal investments in the stock market. Wallahu ta'ala alam, if you open your own account by yourself. I have to stop here. People are standing up, which means that they want me to make the iqama. It's what you want, yes? So we'll continue inshallah next week. As I said, next week inshallah we'll talk about cryptocurrencies. There is an announcement here about, you want to make the announcement? Make it.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Al-Maghrib Institute is holding a course at University of Calgary on October 28th called Parish Nations with Sheikh Majid Mahmoud. It's going to be the story of the people of Hurm, Saleh, and Shoaib. And these people were destroyed. They were given a great punishment for what they did. So we're going to go over those stories from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to be a long seminar, inshallah, with the whole PDF and everything. If you're interested,